So thank you for reading that with me. The past couple of weeks, I've been talking a little bit about this verse, and I wanted to speak a little bit this evening about rare and precious are your precepts, and about the way that the precepts are used in Pure Land Buddhism, as opposed to the way they might be used in other schools of Buddhism, or how religious vows might be used in other traditions. So the precepts are the set of rules that monks and nuns take that describe perfect conduct, if you like, and they're usually in the form of I vow to undertake the training to not kill, for example. And there's the five precepts that lay people usually take, and we often talk about them as being a description of how a perfectly enlightened being acts quite naturally. You can think of the Ten Commandments in Christianity and various other lists of guides to conduct elsewhere. In some schools of Buddhism, and even in Pure Land, you can certainly take them this way: is okay, today I'm going to do my best to try and keep all of these precepts, or I'm going to try my best just to keep one precept. And in this way, the more you willfully practice good behavior, the more in line your actions will become with the actions of an enlightened being. So this is like the outside-in way of training. And it works very well. It's a very good way of training if you've got lots of willpower. And you might find that when you start to behave more in line with these precepts, you do feel more spiritually aware or more spiritually mature. So that's one way of working with the precepts. But from a Pure Land point of view, there is a sense of them being the result of something rather than being the way into something. And if we think of where they appear in the verse we've just read, we start by reciting the praise at the beginning, your radiant face like a mountain peak. So the first impulse of Dharmakara is to give praise. He's inspired by this person that he meets. And one of the things that inspires him is the precepts. For me, it's significant that the inspiration and the faith comes before the precepts. The Pure Land way of thinking would suggest that, first of all, we are moved, we're inspired by hearing a great teaching, by meeting somebody, by having a spiritual experience. And it's from this faith, from this state of inspiration, naturally, we begin to behave in ways that are more loving and more compassionate in the world. When you think of an example of somebody who's in love, naturally they behave in kind ways towards the person that they are in love with. And when somebody is inspired spiritually, you could describe them as being loving towards all beings or many beings, and so naturally their actions become more in line with the precepts because they're inspired. You might think of a time when you've seen a person or an animal that was sick or suffering, and you had a kind of natural desire to do something, whether you were able to or not. And if you did follow through and do that action, you could say in that moment you were perfectly keeping the precepts. You're inspired to do something compassionate, and you did that compassionate action. The other way of training might be to think, oh, here's an opportunity, you know, to think, today I'm going to be really compassionate. And when you see the opportunity, you kind of consciously make a decision to do it because it's in your rule book. Whereas the Pure Land, or this kind of idea in Pure Land, suggests that if you're in that state of being inspired, naturally you want to reach out and help other beings. So part of the Pure Land practice is coming back to the source of inspiration, which for us is Amida Buddha, hence the practice of reciting the Buddha's name and bringing the Buddha to mind. And particularly we're remembering the vow that Amida Buddha made to liberate all beings all of us here, regardless of how well behaved we are or how much we do follow the precepts. The Amida Buddha said, as long as you put your trust in me, as long as you call my name, I'll reach out to you and take you to the Pure Land. Of course, you can interpret this in many different ways, but at the most basic level, there's a sense of the first thing being entrusting to something which inspires you, and that the source of that inspiration is something which embodies the qualities that we describe in here: learning, wisdom, energy, meditation or contemplation, you could say. And so the Buddha is a perfect example, or is held up as the perfect example of somebody who is wise, which means to see beyond the ordinary things, to see what's really going on in the situation, and to know what the best thing to do is to bring the people in that situation away from suffering and towards liberation. And that has the energy and the sort of joie de vivre to be able to do that. And that comes from a sense of, for me, I think my understanding is that that desire to reach out and do something that's good comes from a sense of understanding that being loving is good for everybody in the long term. So this is what the Buddha represents. And when you're inspired by the Buddha, you could say, when you're in that place of devotion or faith, what you're inspired to do is be loving, because you have some sense of it being good for everybody in the long term. And that sense may come from somebody like me sitting here having told you that it's good to be loving, or it may come from an experience you've had in meditation or from reading a book or various other teachers. But I think there is something crucial for me in the inspiration being inspired by something that embodies that sense of love, and the sense of being, a sense of understanding that being loving, being compassionate is the best way to be in the world long term for everybody. And when you are inspired, you naturally try to undertake to be loving, although you may be thwarted in many situations, and sometimes you may not be inspired, which brings me to the second point that I wanted to make. When somebody breaks a precept, what does this mean? You could say, when somebody breaks a precept, when somebody either is willfully angry and does something to harm another being, or is negligent and does something that ends up hurting somebody, or gives way to greed or hate. From the Pure Land point of view, you could say that this is a failure of inspiration or a failure of faith, rather than saying it's just a failure of following the rules, because you understand that following the rules is the right thing to do. It's a sort of deeper sense of having lost the sense that it's good to be good. And it may be that you've never had this sense. If you're sitting in this room today, you probably have some understanding or some idea that it's good to be good, or that it's good to be loving, or you want to bring some more of that into your life. You may have read a book or heard from another teacher, or had some, as I say, you may have had some experience in meditation, or had some inkling from your own life that you need to bring some more love into it somehow. But to have an experience or to have an understanding of this without having encountered a teacher like Lokeshvara Raja did is very difficult and very rare. So you could say that somebody who is breaking the precepts continually and is having a crisis of inspiration, the antidote to that is to find something, or to be able to provide something that is inspiring, that fires them up to do something that is good in the world, whatever form that takes. And of course, the understanding in Buddhism is that actually the whole world is inspiring all of the time. You can go out into nature and be inspired by a beautiful flower. But actually, for ordinary human beings, we spend most of our time so wrapped up in our own thoughts and our own delusions, our own ideas about what's going on, that it's very rare to have that kind of inspiration spontaneously, although it does happen, of course. And this is why we need Buddhist groups, teachers, groups of other faith, people who are secular and can be inspiring to shine that kind of light in the world and make a difference, to give something of the kind of that kind of really energized spirit that thinks it's worth making a difference in the world. And this is why when Lokeshvararaja, who speaks this verse, meets, when Dharmakara, who speaks this verse, meets Lokeshvara, this is why one of the things he praises is his precepts, because what he's praising is not the fact that he's learned how to follow a set of rules, but he's praising the fact that his conduct is so exemplary in the world that he is able to be inspiring for other people. He's a source of faith for other people, and also he himself is inspired. He understands that by saying, "I really appreciate how you are in the world," he's also saying, "I really appreciate how inspired you are in the world and how you're able to inspire other people like me." And the verse then carries on, and Dharmakara makes his own vows to be good in the world, and that comes out of this sense of being inspired. So I guess the short version of what I'm trying to say is how important in pure Buddhism it is to be inspired by the teachings and to have some sense of this understanding that in the long term it's good to be loving, and also that there are sources of inspiration that are loving us all of the time. And for Pure Land Buddhists, these sources of inspiration take the form of the Buddhas, particularly Amida Buddha, whose name we've been reciting this evening. Good. No more Amida Buddha. No.